In January, Governor Scott Walker picked Mr. Manny Perez to run the State Department of Workforce Development. So it's my pleasure welcoming to Wisconsin Eye the Secretary of Workforce Development. Manny Perez, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for inviting me. I look forward to enjoying our conversation and in sharing the vision and mission and everything that that we're seeking to do. We have a very exciting team and great things to share.
You have a key agency, especially in a recession, but before we talk about the agency and how it operates and its mission, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, sir?
Well, I originally came from Caracas, Venezuela, and back in 1978. Studied here in Madison, Wisconsin. Worked as an income maintenance worker and as an EOC investigator here at the city of Madison. Completed doctoral studies for 4 years in labor economics here at the UW-Madison. Went to work Manpower and Manpower North America for managed services. And from there, I left Manpower to buy a corporation. And then after 3 years, we received an offer from an investment company, and we sold it in December 10th. So around December 25th, the governor called me and asked me if I would run DWD. And I said, you know, I love Wisconsin. And I was very passionate and excited at the opportunity. In understanding if we are going to address issues of poverty, we need to ensure that the private sector is growing, that the skills of individuals are aligned to that growth so that they can have sustainable employment and can plan for their life. So I had done that at my company. My job at Manpower had been anticipating and meeting private sector labor needs. And as a result, it was a perfect fit. And I said, oh, now it's my time to give back to Wisconsin.
So your background is that of a labor economist?
Mm-hmm.
So it is.
That is correct, yes.
And you've talked a little bit about the challenge, but how did you meet Governor Walker? I mean, how did he know to call you to run a major state agency?
Well, first of all, because of my experience, you know, as an income maintenance worker, EOC investigator, I had worked in Manpower, and I run my own corporation. So I have a keen understanding of issues of poverty. I have a keen understanding of issues of equal rights. And I also have an advanced understanding of of the economic dynamics of anticipating and meeting private sector labor needs.
The governor has said his first and primary goal is creating 250,000 jobs. Now, is your agency the one that's supposed to take the lead on that, Mr. Perez?
Well, we all take the lead on that under the leadership of Governor Walker, because we view the development of the state of Wisconsin and the Wisconsin strategy that we are all economic development and we are all workforce development. And what I mean by that is a strong alignment between commerce and the Department of Workforce Development, children and families, corrections, regulations and licensing, everybody converging towards the same goal, because we all touch jobs in different manners. It also includes, for example, the coordinated activities of the Wisconsin Technical School System, mm-hmm. the local workforce development boards, the local economic development regions, the local chambers of commerce, the CEO community, everybody working together, both from a local standpoint and at the Wisconsin level of strategy, all towards the same goal. So it's really a coordinated effort towards job creation and private sector growth.
Part of the job, though, it's all those agencies that you listed that you work closely with, you're the agency that keeps score, aren't you?
That is correct, yes, yes.
Well, bring us up to date. What's Wisconsin's current jobless rate?
Well, right now it's at 7.4. And January was also at 7.4.
How does that stand year to year, sir?
It's a strong improvement over 2010. One of the things that is occurring, for example, in February, we have 4,200 individuals re-entering the labor market. We had about a great quantity of jobs coming in and being created in the manufacturing sector, mm-hmm. strong emphasis on private sector growth, which leads us to believe together with the business outlook that we are observing and the fact that we are at the beginning of the hiring cycle for 2011, that we should experience a very, very good year in terms of that. For example, the Manpower Outlook Survey, which was published about 2 weeks ago, indicated that 22% of CEOs in Wisconsin plan to hire individuals, while 16% of CEOs across the nation are planning on hiring individuals. In other words, the expected rate of hire for Wisconsin exceeds that of the nation. And that really has to do with a change on business outlook for Wisconsin, change of business sentiment in Wisconsin. In other words, CEOs indicating we're going to expand, attracting companies into Wisconsin, fostering entrepreneurship. In other words, creating a predictable environment, which that is the direct result of changing the regulatory framework and creating the tax incentives that the governor has created to stimulate private sector growth.
Well, what do the estimates show? If we're at 7.4% unemployment now, where do you think we're going to be at the end of this year, Mr. Perez?
Well, it would be wonderful to have a crystal ball to say that. Okay.
Yes.
For example, what I can share with you. Then you have seen the numbers in January and February have increased. Mm-hmm. We are expecting very good numbers also for March. But at the same time, we are devoting strong motivation to individuals to reenter the labor force, particularly right now that the market, the hiring cycle goes normally from March all the way through August. Then it tapers off a little bit from August to September, October. And then it really levels off in November and December. You know, mm-hmm. we're manufacturing state.
Yes,
so the idea is to motivate as many people as possible to re-enter the job market, give time for all of these perceptions to start generating new employment. And you're seeing, for example, what's happening with Quad Graphics. You're seeing what's happening with Marinette Marine. You're seeing what's happening in another project that is coming in Blue Mountain. Along those three are about 3,000 jobs right there and then.
I was going to ask you, mm-hmm. are you finding the largest companies are hiring back? Or is a major economic engine of the state's economy small businesses, sir? What's the balance?
It's a combination. You know, there is growth in the larger ones, but at the same time, remember that the smaller ones are members of the supply chain for the larger corporations. So as things are becoming more predictable, business outlook and sentiment being very positive with all the policies that the governor is advancing, then everybody starts taking more risk. And we are seeing, for example, manufacturing orders for durable goods increasing, which is because going beyond food manufacturing, for example, mm-hmm. Which then drives the labor demand of the smaller and medium-sized businesses.
How are you seeing the balance between private sector and public sector jobs, sir?
Mm-hmm. One of the things that occurred here, for example, in January and February is the re-entering of students, for example, into the universities and the educational system. And so as a result, that kind of skews the numbers a little bit.
Okay.
But the reality is, you know, in the long run, we expect having less public sector jobs and more private sector demand.
When the governor says 250,000 jobs, I just want to be clear, is he talking private sector jobs, Mr. Perez, or a combination?
The fundamental combination is really private sector jobs. We strongly believe that the private sector is the one that generates employment. Okay? A fundamental issue to generate employment in a sustainable manner is ensuring that the growth of the private sector, both short-term, medium-term, and long-term, is also aligned to the skills of the individuals along those lines, so that the individuals as CEOs are making investment decisions into the future, that the individuals are aligning their skills to those sectors that are growing so that they can also plan their life and have sustainable employment.
Our unemployment rate, the last number you have is
7.4%,
correct? 7.4. Mm-hmm. What percentage of Wisconsin workers have dropped out of the labor market and are no longer looking for work? And the context of my question is, mm-hmm. do we have more of the workers that are no longer looking for work than in other states or than the national average, sir?
That is hard to say. We would need to really look more granularly at those numbers. The portion where we are focusing on, you know, certainly we can compare our labor demand curve to that of 2007, which mm-hmm. was, you know, much higher.
Yes.
So the idea is to try to seek to bring those numbers by doing the push-pull approach, creating the demand for labor and then moving all of these individuals into here. And one of the things that we are doing, we're going all through the state and really connecting with individuals, motivating them to connect to the Wisconsin Job Center, seeking new opportunities, helping them in terms of training, how to conduct an interview, you know, all of those things, because some individuals have been out of work for a long time. So we want them to reconnect and feel confident as to for the future.
Do you think, well, first of all, let me ask this. Do you think the recession, as we're seeing it in the state of Wisconsin, have we hit bottom, sir? Is it coming back?
I do believe so, but particularly not so much because of economic dynamics, but because the governor has taken such a strong approach to send a signal to the CEO community, to the business sector, that Wisconsin is a fertile environment for business growth, for business creation, for business expansion. In other words, you can grow here, you can stay here.
As we look at Wisconsin's economy, what do you think is the best benchmark sign to look at? Is it the jobless rate? Is it home sales? What do you consider the one or two key stats that you would look at?
Well, we take a look at a combination of those, you know, because the different statistics can tell you different things. For example, overarching national durable good manufacturing orders are very important,
right?
Because it tells you, you know, how much people are spending, you know, are they substituting in what is the labor demand for durable goods. For example, another strong indicator is usage of temporary services.
Yes.
Because temporary services are a leading indicator, you know, when they are starting, business sector is starting to hire, but not ready to convert. For example, another interesting statistics is the number of what is the demand for truck drivers, because when transportation starts ramping up, what is saying is that transportation and logistics, you're starting to produce more output. So we really take a look at all of those things to paint a picture.
Okay.
You know, and another thing that we do very strongly is maintaining ongoing communication with the CEO community.
And how is that done?
I mean, through normal calling in communication through the chambers of commerce, through the different organizations, in direct conversations with them so that we can consult and investigate what are we doing right, what are we doing wrong, how can we assist them as well.
A follow-up question to that didn't occur to me earlier. Do you think most people who had dropped out of the labor market are getting the idea that things are improving, so they should once again be looking for a job?
Believe so, and we are communicating that in a very nurturing manner across the state of Wisconsin. The numbers certainly support that. The outlook strongly supports that. The outlook from Manpower also supports that. So it is a good opportunity. What we are also encouraging individuals is that if they find themselves with the skills that can be improved, to take advantage, you know, by visiting the Workforce Development Board, take advantage of retraining opportunities and retooling, leveraging skills and reentering the labor market.
So is that what you would tell somebody who had been out of the labor market? How should they begin to plug back in?
They should go to the Workforce Development Boards and the Wisconsin Job Center in the local community.
Okay.
To connect with them, identify what opportunities are there, obtain assistance, and obtain different leverage, the resources that we have available for them.
Okay. One thing that intrigues me about your agency, DWD, excuse me, this current year, your whole budget is $349 million. But of that, state funds are only $24 million. What do you get so much federal aid for?
It's a fact not well known across the state of Wisconsin that about 90% of the funding that comes into the Department of Workforce Development,
yes,
comes from the federal government. The 10% remaining from GPR, the General Program Fund revenue, mm-hmm, goes to the Equal Rights Division. The 90% finances the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, the Department of Employment and Training, unemployment insurance, for example.
Okay.
Those, yep, are the three.
So you're only funded 10% with state tax dollars in the
balance. That is correct. Yes.
I recently saw in the state in the Journal Sentinel this big headline: Wisconsin owes $1.56 million to the feds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I asked, when the governor rolled out his budget, I asked whether there was any provision in the budget to pay that back, and they said no.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about how your agency, or who's going to develop a plan to pay the feds back $1.56 billion,
mm-hmm,
Mr. Perez?
Well, as you know, during the recession, the Wisconsin borrowed about $1.5 billion from the federal government,
yes,
for unemployment insurance. That's money that has to be paid back.
With interest, correct?
With interest. And it would have been about $48 million this year in the absence of the moratorium that the president is considering implementing. As you know, the Unemployment Insurance Council is really the advisory body that implements the changes, that develops the changes, and develops the plan and presents the plan to the legislature. It's not the Department of Workforce Development. Our role is purely technical advice to the Unemployment Insurance Council.
This is a panel that's made up both of employers and
labor sector.
Mm-hmm. When is this council next scheduled to meet? Do you look?
I believe about a month from now, they are scheduled to meet. And clearly, you know, when you look at this, what one of the things that we need to look at is the Wisconsin strategy. You know, looking at the different scenarios. Okay, but we really provide the information that they request.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, a comprehensive plan, you know, should be developed. So, for the purpose of addressing short-term, medium-term, and long-term needs, but that's really the role of the Unemployment Insurance Council.
The way to come up with a solution to the problem of the $1.5 billion, I mean, can't you really only dial back benefits or raise taxes on the state's businesses? Isn't that about the only options?
Well, there are many scenarios, and that is the importance of having a strategic plan for the management of the fund.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember what happens with making decisions without a full comprehensive analysis. You have unintended consequences. So as a result, rather than, you know, piecemealing solutions, the best approach is a comprehensive plan that addresses, you know, short-term, medium-term, and long-term needs, that understand, for example, the business cycle of Wisconsin, that the impact that it can have on different sectors, and that really takes into consideration all of these facts so as to have a plan that can be presented to a legislature.
The
UI Council, you know, would do that.
Is there a date that Wisconsin has to have a plan in place to pay this $1.5 billion back?
Not right now, because the president has undergone the analysis and presented an opinion to grant a two-year moratorium on the interest. But certainly, it's best sooner than later to have all your plans in place.
So it's the role of the agency to just staff the council, correct?
That is correct, because,
okay,
you know, we have technical information, you know, in terms of rates and different things.
One of the reasons that we owe them $1.5 billion, but let me ask another question.
Mm-hmm.
Many other states owe more than us.
That is correct.
Okay. Are we somewhere in the middle in terms of?
We're kind of in the middle. California, you know, owes quite a bit. Illinois also owes quite a bit. But the reality, I don't look at it in terms of, you know, like who owes more. I look at it that it's $1.5 million that, you know, Wisconsin eventually has to pay.
One of the reasons that we owe them $1.5 billion is the federal government continued to extend the periods,
mm-hmm,
by which those without jobs can collect,
mm-hmm,
unemployment benefits. Did very many workers in Wisconsin, have they been able to get the max? Is the maximum 99 weeks?
Correct. There are tier one, tier two, tier three.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the game here has to be, and that's why it was so important for the governor and so exact for the governor to implement the changes right off the bat in terms of changing the business outlook for Wisconsin. Because really, the best approach is increase the business outlook, increase private sector growth, move individuals from that are collecting unemployment into reentering the labor market, and that is exactly what we're doing. You know, through a motivational approach and creating opportunities for them, that's the very first thing. That we can do. And we're supporting that very strongly.
Some members of Congress have argued, I think it's Democratic members of Congress, say that we should have another extension. Do you think we should have another extension, that those without jobs for a long time should be able to get benefits beyond the 99-week limit?
It would be, as Secretary of Workforce Development, it would be improper for me to issue a judgment on whether they should or should not, when that is really the role of the UI Council.
Okay.
However, we must take into consideration where we are in the business cycle. For example, we do have some threats to the Wisconsin economy.
Mm-hmm.
The first threat is potential impact that the tragedy in Japan could have in the Wisconsin economy.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that.
We sell about $1.5 billion to them in goods, and we do not know yet what will be the impact. As you probably know, there is not a direct significant relationship between the increasing gas prices and unemployment rate,
mm-hmm,
but it is related more in terms of the state of the overall economy. So as a result, those are things that we are tracking. What is the potential impact so that we can alert properly, like, for example, the UI Council in the governor's office in terms of what things that are looming out there. So the UI Council really is the one that will make the decision on extending benefits or not while we provide, you know, all of the scenarios and the technical information that is needed for them to make an informed decision.
So are you a little bit worried about the interruption to Wisconsin jobs that could be posed by the tragedy in the nation of Japan?
Absolutely, absolutely. But I have to worry about everything. Remember, as secretary, you know, my
yes.
part of my role is anticipate.
Okay.
Anticipate and meet private sector labor needs. So part of my role is think of the unthinkable. What are the things that fall out of a normal projection and be prepared for that? And like the job of a CEO is to be prepared for unforeseen conditions.
Well, now I'm really curious. What are some other things that you're worried about that could threaten our economy?
Well, for example, ensuring that our workers are prepared in terms of the skill development that they need to meet the demand. So that is very important. Remember, when there is a CEO that appears on the newspaper indicating that they need 200 welders today, tomorrow, the reality is that is 2 years old. That is something that should have been ascertained 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and then prepare the individual so 2 years later you have them prepared, okay? Because you cannot train a TIG welder in 2 days and have them ready to go into a high-risk scenario to deliver and perform. So one of the things that I am doing that we have moved very quickly in the second day that we took office is to ensuring that we are anticipating the needs of the private sector and moving very quickly to meet that. In particular, and this will be of great benefit for Wisconsin for many years to come, is to having a strategic plan process in place that anticipates and forecasts the labor needs for the next 5 years, and you recalibrate every year, and that is aligned to the growth of the industries in each local community. Because that in and of itself provides the guidance of what training is needed in order to help individuals be aligned and have sustainable employment. So that's a source of concern, and by concern I mean being very focused in terms of addressing and finding solutions.
How big a problem is brain drain in Wisconsin?
Well, we have seen from several stories that individuals move out of Wisconsin, but something funny happens, you know, after they have been a couple of years or some years outside, they come back over here and they never leave. I came from Venezuela and never left. you are seeing very beautiful efforts taken by the leadership here in Wisconsin in making Wisconsin a very attractive place to live. You saw that, for example, Milwaukee was, by Forbes magazine, identified as a city, you know.
As a place for young professionals,
for
correct?
For young professionals, and those are efforts that the Milwaukee Metropolitan Chamber of Area Association of Commerce and other leaderships and chambers of commerce have been advancing to rebrand and attract talent to Wisconsin. So I think Wisconsin is faring very well and has a bright future.
Okay. But one thing that strikes me when I look at the unemployment numbers for Wisconsin is there's a big gap. We have some areas where unemployment is fairly high.
Yes.
And then in Dane County is about the lowest, isn't
mm-hmm,
it?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that we have such swings, Mr. Secretary?
One of the problems that I've seen, and I saw it immediately and when I was in my company as well, is that the lack of a strategic planning that has occurred for the past 8 years here in the state of Wisconsin
mm-hmm.
has caused misalignment between the growth of the private sector, the demands of, you know, for the private sector in terms of demands, and the training. So as a result, when you have this kind of misalignment,
okay.
immediately you have all kinds of unintended consequences. At the same time, you have situation, for example, MPS. Has a big budget, but individuals graduate, you know, without having the skills that are necessary to compete in today's workplace. So all of these disconnects need to be addressed in a very assertive manner, because, you know, the business outlook is very positive. Creating, we're becoming very attractive, okay, in attracting talent so that they would come to Wisconsin, but at the same time empowering the individuals. So it's really a question of leadership in local communities, in aligning the skills and education to what is going to be growing into the future.
One of the questions I hear asked in the Capitol is this. Governor Walker's budget has to solve a budget deficit of $3.6 billion, as you know, over the next 2 years. So he has said he's got to cut aids to schools and local governments. Now, one question I hear in the Capitol is, if you cut aids, aren't they going to have to lay off some people, which would raise our unemployment and hurt his goal of 250,000 new jobs, Mr. Perez?
I think that with increasing labor demand, individuals can leverage and transfer the skills that they already have into private sector jobs. So I think that we can ameliorate that if we can plan for that. But the bottom line is, everybody's going to have to do more with less.
Okay. And what about the changes that the governor signed into law in collective bargaining, even though it's tied up in court? Will that be good long-term for job creation in Wisconsin?
Well, as a Secretary of Workforce Development, my focus is on ensuring the quality of the workforce in Wisconsin is a source of competitive advantage for Wisconsin. The reality is that, for example, answering this question really is a question that the governor would answer in more capacity than I can.
I understand. Okay. Look forward to the end of your first term. What major achievements would you like to have done at the end of four years from now?
Seeing job numbers grow.
Yes.
Ensuring that the quality of the Wisconsin workforce is a source of competitive advantage for the individual and for private sector, because at that moment, we contribute to making Wisconsin competitive and contributing to the governor's goal of creating 250,000 jobs.
Very good. Secretary Manny Perez of the Department of Workforce Development, thank you for your time. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks.